Good morning. It's good to see you, White Plains family. It's good to worship with you. You probably noticed if you came in that way that there's a brand new piece of furniture out there in the lobby. There's a welcome desk, and I am really excited. I am probably oddly excited about a welcome desk. I don't know how I can get more excited, but I'm super excited. I want to say thank you to Greg and Michelle, who designed it and built it and stained it. The desire is to provide an obvious place for new people to know where to go when they have a question or where they need to get more information. And this desk will serve us in many, many great ways in the future. And even just being out there this morning, seeing the interaction, using that lobby as a way to show hospitality, I can see how God is going to use that place. And so I'm excited. The coffee is very visible now, so if you didn't realize we had coffee, it's right there up front, and the kids' check-in area is there. But you know, COVID and its aftermath has trained us to send people to a QR code or send them to a website or a self-checkout lane, and basically to avoid people-to-people interaction. That's what COVID has brought us. And the church is a people organization. And while those things served us well through the past couple of years, now that it's safer, we need to point people to people and get people connected with other humans instead of a website or a QR code or a sign-up sheet on the wall. And so I'm excited to see what kind of hospitality White Plains can offer our guests and our members at that desk. And we will need help. We will need some of you all to help man that desk. That is going to give us new opportunity for ministry around here. And so if you find yourself liking and loving, welcoming people and making people feel comfortable, I would encourage you to think about volunteering at that desk. We'll need, like I said, lots of hands. There's a sign-up sheet there at the desk. And so as you leave, if you think that might be something you'd be interested in, be sure to ask Michelle about that and then even sign up. Kids, it's a great way for you to serve with your parents there too. So think about that as you are dismissed to go on up to kids' church. We'll see you all afterwards. As they're leaving, I do want to give you a quick update from our strategy of loving the community. We have a very loyal team of volunteers who have taken it upon themselves to lead us in loving our community by feeding our high school sports teams. You may remember that we started this last spring, and as school started back, we've continued. And we have a goal this year to feed all the sports teams this school year. We've got a pretty good jump this year already. We just fed the band and cheerleaders. The boys and girls golf team were fed this week. And next week, I think the volleyball team is invited to come to worship with us, and we're going to feed them after on next Sunday. The soccer and football teams are scheduled for later this month. But I want to let you know that as we were feeding the golf team this week, I overheard, I guess a coach, he looked like an adult, he was telling one of our volunteers that in all his years of coaching, no one has ever fed the golf team except for this week. So I want to say thank you. I want to echo his thank you and say thank you, White Plains family, for loving our community in this way. Your love for the community is being noticed. Now we're doing this to help begin gospel conversations with the community around us, and we are continuing to build on our reputation here in the community. My desire is to hear people as they interact with White Plains, whether they're driving by our building or interact with you guys, that they will say that church really loves the community. If the community says that about us, I think that we win, and that's a victory, because it's a long-term strategy of planting seeds for the gospel. And I'm trusting that God will water those seeds, and he will cultivate that. And when the time is right, some will decide to join us and be a part of our family here. And Lord willing, God will use this effort to even bring some to faith. This week, we're going to take another step in that direction of letting the community around us know that we love them by giving our public school staff that prayer card that we prayed through a couple of weeks ago and a gift card to the new coffee shop here in town. They just opened. I just got the gift cards, and we're going to be working with some of you guys who work in the different school buildings this week to get those cards to the staff. 500 people in our community will hear from White Plains that we love them and that God loves them. Many who are in our community who work just down the road from here, most of them who know many of you, are going to receive statements of love, of our love for them this week and next week. And if you work in one of those school buildings, I just want to prepare you for what God may do through that. I'm trusting that God will cause many wonderful conversations to happen because of this statement. So be ready for them. Use those moments of conversation to share the hope that you have in God and in Jesus and his goodness and his faithfulness. And I can't wait to hear what conversations come through this act of love to our community. I'm excited about that. But this morning we're going to jump back into Acts. We're going to look at the longest narrative in the book of Acts. That's to say that as Luke documents in his writings what is happening here in the early church, he spends the most amount of time on this single narrative than he spends on any other single narrative in the book of Acts. It's that important. What we're going to look at this morning is something very important. We're going to see a shift begin to happen in the early church. It's such an important narrative in Luke, in Acts, that Luke spends basically chapter 11 repeating what he says in chapter 10. We can't miss what's happening here. We have angels interacting with Gentiles. We have Jesus showing up in visions with Peter. It's a powerful message of God reaching the world with the gospel message. So let's open up Acts chapter 10 and look at the first 8 verses as we begin this morning. At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the 9th hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called 2 of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. Let's pray. God, you are so good. Thank you for your word to us this morning. Thank you for baptisms and new life here at White Plains. You are such a good God, and we thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness, and we ask that you would be with us as we look into your word this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The main point this morning I want you to leave with is that God will accomplish what he wants. For your good, be willing to follow him. This morning, God gets the attention of 2 men. We just read Cornelius, a Gentile, and we'll get to Peter, a Jew, in just a minute. But here we have God speaking to Cornelius through an angel. God will accomplish what he wants, and he will go to extraordinary measures if needed. Today we're going to see that God wants the gospel to go to the Gentiles, effectively treating Gentiles in the same way as he did the people of Israel. Now, in case you don't know, in the Old Testament and in from a Jewish worldview, there's really only 2 types of people. There's the Jewish people and non-Jewish, the Gentiles. Most of us probably are Gentiles. If we don't have a Jewish heritage, then we're Gentiles. And this morning we're going to see that the gospel is also for the Gentiles. It's for everyone. The gospel is for you. The gospel is for your loved ones. Now, according to verse 2, Cornelius was a devout man who feared God with all his household. He's at Caesarea. Now, if you have a map from a couple of weeks ago, the map's called the Ministry of Peter and Philip, you can see that Caesarea is a coastal city toward the north It's a Roman military base, and I do have some additional copies of the map on the welcome desk if you want to grab one on your way out. But the city was considered a pagan city, even though it was in Judea. Cornelius was a military captain in charge of 100 men. Luke tells us that he was part of the Italian cohort. Do you know what that means, a cohort? I didn't. I had to look it up. It sounds like a gang or a mob, doesn't it? A cohort is a military term that means a group of 600 to 1,000 soldiers. Cornelius was one of the centurions in that cohort of about 6 to 10 centurions. 10 cohorts forms a legion. We're learning in Acts that Cornelius was a successful and respected person in the community. He must have been wealthy because as a centurion, he would have been paid about 5 times more than a regular soldier. As a devout man, Cornelius feared God. Now, he was a Gentile who worshiped the God of Israel. That's what it means to be one who fears God. But he didn't fully convert. He didn't get circumcised, and he didn't follow the Jewish dietary laws. He would have went to the synagogue, but he wasn't a full Jewish person at this point, or ever. Cornelius did pray like the Jewish people, and he gave to the poor, and he instructed his family and his servants to do the same. Cornelius feared God, but was nevertheless, he was a Gentile, and he was considered unclean as a Gentile. Thus, the Jews and even the early church would have considered him unclean. The Jews would have not have worshipped with him, and he would not have been included in full temple activity. But Cornelius receives a message from an angel. He followed the instructions of the angel. He sent 3 men to Joppa to go find Peter and to bring him back. Joppa was about 30 miles south of Caesarea along the coast. And I want you to continue to understand that God will accomplish what he wants this morning. For your good, be willing to follow him. So that's the first scene in this lengthy narrative. Let's look at the second scene as we continue in Acts chapter 10. Let's look at verses 9 through 23. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the 6th hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its 4 corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened 3 times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, 3 men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you're looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you, to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So he invited them in to be his guest. Now, Peter is an interesting guy here. This is the 3rd time in Scripture that he refuses to do what God says. This is Peter, the guy whose proclamation of the gospel is the foundation for the church. For as bold and gifted as Peter is, he often doesn't get what God is doing. It takes him a little bit to understand. But in Peter's vision, Jesus says to kill and eat, even the unclean animals. And Peter says, nope, not today, not going to do it, never have, never will. Jesus scolds Peter a bit here, and patiently he repeats himself a couple of more times. Three times Jesus says to Peter, kill and eat. Three times Peter says no. Peter attempts to please God by holding on to the old ways, but was disobedient to God. Have you ever found yourself holding on to old ways when God is clearly moving away from those ways? Have you ever been blinded your eyes to what God was doing because it was different than how you expected him to act? If so, you're not alone. Peter was this way. He's right there with you. Peter's desire was to hold on to what he knew about God in the past, even when God was clearly doing something new. Follow Peter's example and be willing to be corrected by God. It took him some time, but ultimately, Peter understood what God was doing and followed after him. Peter eventually submitted to God's will. Now, when Cornelius' men found Peter, he invited them in. Peter was obedient to God. So make sure you understand, though, this wasn't easy. This wasn't easy for him. It wasn't simple for Peter. Peter just had an interaction with Jesus in a vision when he was kind of scolded three times by Jesus. Then three Gentiles show up, and the Holy Spirit talks to Peter and says, go down and bring these guys in. And as I read this, I kind of get the Spirit being a little bit forceful and saying, do it because I said so. And Peter does it. Jews did not spend time with Gentiles. They were considered unclean. But Peter submitted to God's will, even though it was different than what he was used to. So let's continue to the third scene of this narrative in Acts chapter 10, verses 23 through 33. The next day, he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I too am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then, why you sent for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you've been commanded by the Lord. The thing that we should understand about Peter is that when he gets it, he gets it. It might take him a little bit to get it, but he understands finally, and he goes all in. He has tunnel vision. Maybe you do. Maybe we do. But it takes a while for him to broaden that vision. But he does. And then he refocuses and he goes for it. Peter is going where no Jew would have gone, to a Gentile's house. Peter goes from disagreeing with God to following God to a place that no Jew would go, to a Gentile's house. If you find yourself stuck in the past, God can use you in mighty ways when you follow after him into new territory. God will accomplish what he wants. For your good, be willing to follow him. Now we have to thank God for Peter finally obeying God, because as we will see in the next few verses, that Cornelius was the first Gentile convert to Christianity. Cornelius feared the God of Israel as a Gentile. He prayed and he gave to the poor. He led his household to fear God too. God saw his faithfulness and he sent Peter to bring him the gospel. Peter was learning things about God, things that were rocking his world. But when he went to Cornelius and he spoke, those things that were rocking his world were the very things that he needed to understand as he followed God. Let's look at Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning with from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are his witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Peter opens up here saying, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality." I find that funny, because it took him a while to understand that. Peter had been wrestling with that vision. His worldview has been shaken. He has disagreed with God verbally and repeatedly, but he followed God even when he didn't understand, and even when he disagreed, he followed God. Peter never stopped thinking about what Jesus was saying to him in that vision. He meets Cornelius, then it all clicks. I think Peter, as he's saying this, is speaking to God as much as he is to Cornelius. Our understanding of God often comes as we obey through our confusion. I'll say that again because I think it's important. Our understanding of God often comes as we obey God through our confusion. Have you ever experienced this? Something was happening in your life. You couldn't quite understand what was going on, what God might be doing, but you obeyed God anyways. And through your obedience, it became clear what God was doing. That's what's happening to Peter right here. It might be what you're going through right now. Your faith might be shaken. You might be unsure what's happening in your life. You might be confused as to which way you should go. Go to Scripture. Seek what God is saying there. Seek God's will there in Scripture. Search for understanding and obey God even in your confusion. Talk to a Christian friend. We are meant to be together. We aren't meant to figure this all out on our own. clarity will come as you obey God through your confusion. Peter summarizes the life and ministry and death of Jesus here to Cornelius. The gospel message reaches the unclean. This is a big deal. Peter tells Cornelius the same thing that he's been telling Jews, the gospel message of Jesus. Cornelius believes, and the Holy Spirit falls on them. Let's continue reading in verses 44 through 48 of Acts chapter 10. While Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. The gospel goes forward. The Holy Spirit followed as the Gentiles believed. This was new territory for the church. The gospel had never went to the Gentiles before. Answers to questions that haven't been asked are being answered here. Namely, Gentiles can follow Jesus without becoming a Jew first. Now, this is normal for us. We know this to be true already. But this was uncharted territory for the new church, and it would plague the early church for many years to come. Early Jewish Christians were very much like Peter at the beginning of chapter 10. But they didn't have the vision that Peter had. Many would have echoed Peter's disagreement with God about unclean things. Many God-loving people would have adamantly argued that Gentile converts must become Jewish first, because that's the way they knew. They only knew the Jewish ways. They thought that new Gentile Christians should be circumcised and observe the law first. But that didn't happen. The Holy Spirit fell anyways. Gifts of the Spirit followed that. They began speaking in tongues and praising God. Peter, in an act of spiritual maturity, says that it's time to baptize these guys in the name of Jesus. Now, there's two other quick things I want to make mention of from the text. These aren't main points, but they're important. They're here, and I believe we should at least acknowledge them. First, in looking at Peter, we can see how he was in process throughout this chapter. He started off disagreeing with God. And then at the close of the chapter, he hangs out with new Gentile converts and teaches them for a few days. Now, I bring this up to simply point out that pastors are often also in process. I am learning and I am growing in my faith. CJ, our next gen pastor, is learning and growing too. Our Sunday school teachers, our deacon team, we're all in process of becoming more like Jesus. You are in process of becoming more like Jesus too. Never put me, a staff member, or another church member on a pedestal. Don't esteem internet preachers higher than you would anyone else. Peter says he's just a man. Pastors are human. Pastors haven't arrived. We don't have everything figured out all the time. As with Peter, we can sometimes get things wrong in spectacular ways. But we should be obedient to God, even when we don't fully understand what God is doing. We should, as pastors, be examples worth following, like Peter was here. The second thing is that we get a bit of our theology on baptism from this passage. We practice at White Plains something that's called believer's baptism. It was good to see Mariah's baptism this morning. She was baptized after she came to faith in Jesus. In Acts, Cornelius and his household were baptized after coming to faith, after the Holy Spirit had fallen on them. We see here that baptism is not a prerequisite for salvation or for faith. The Holy Spirit was already indwelling these Gentile Christians. They were speaking in tongues and praising God all before they were baptized. Peter rightly recognized that baptism was the next thing they should do, but the lack of it didn't keep the Holy Spirit away. If you have questions about baptism, we will have that baptism class coming up on September 25th, right after worship, and you can sign up at the welcome desk if you're interested in learning more about what it means to be baptized, especially if you haven't been baptized after coming to faith in Christ. If you want to follow the example of what Mariah shows us, she showed us this morning, I would encourage you to join that class. So how should we apply this message to our lives? We begin by understanding that God shows no favoritism. God shows no favoritism. The gospel is for everyone. The gospel is for you. What was once unclean is now accepted. If you have a past that you're ashamed of, you can be accepted. You are accepted. God shows no favoritism. You are able to come to Him and experience the freedom that only Jesus can offer from your past and your sin. The gospel is for you. Acts 11:18 says, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." God loves you so much. He loves you. Luke spends two chapters here in Acts telling us how much God loves you and how He goes to great lengths to reach you. He loves you. God sent an angel to speak to Cornelius. Jesus spoke to Peter in a vision. God gets these two to meet so that the gospel can ultimately reach you this morning. God will accomplish what He wants. For your good, be willing to follow after Him. Reconciliation is a theme throughout Scripture. God makes things between people better. People-to-people relationships, God mends those. And He mends our relationship with Him. God works to bring people back to proper relationships. He can do that for you. For your good, will you be willing to follow after Him? I'll invite the worship team to come back. And as they come, have you followed God's will for your life? God's first desire for you is to know Him, to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't done that, that's what God wants, is for you to trust in Jesus. Will you trust that Jesus is who He says He is? Will you put your eternal state into His powerful hands? And for those of us who have trusted Jesus, God desires for you to live a life that follows and looks like Jesus's. One that looks like His and makes Him known to others. Are there areas in your life that don't look like Jesus's life? Will you give those over to Him and let the Holy Spirit empower you to live a life that follows Jesus? Let's pray. God, You are so good. Thank You for Your word to us this morning. Thank You for working in extremely difficult and different ways for us to hear the gospel as Gentiles this morning. Your love for us is evident, and we thank You for Jesus. Help us to look and live more like Him, to trust Him with our eternal state and with our everyday state. You are so good. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.